Thank you. Call the meeting Committee on Rules of Legislative Administration to order. The Secretary will note the roll. Welcome, everyone, to the first meeting on rules. Just a little bit of information for you. This won't be our regular meeting time. This one will just take a little bit longer because we have to go through a number of resolutions. We will be settling on a time that is not in conflict with any of the other committees, though it may be in our break or lunch hour. And I'm looking for input on when that should be. And so if any members have any suggestions, let me know afterwards. I want to start with some introductions, and most of the legislators know each other. It looks like there's not too many new faces around here. We'd like members to introduce themselves, and then we'll do the staff as well. So Tony Sertich, Chair of the Committee from Chisholm.
Ben Walker, I'm Vice Chair of the Committee from
Minneapolis. Ryan Winkler, represent Golden Valley and St. Louis Park.
Steve Simon, the other half of St. Louis Park, and Hopkins.
Melissa Hartman, Northern Brooklyn Park and Coon Rapids.
Leon Lilly, North St. Paul, Maplewood.
Paul Keith in Minneapolis and Richfield.
Aaron Murphy from St. Paul.
Gene Pawlowski, one of the Houston counties.
Dennis Osmond, Rosemount, Eastern Apple Valley.
David Dill, Minnesota Arrowhead.
Lawrence Olbrick, Itasca, and I take him county.
Representative Nelson, Southern Brooklyn Park.
Lyndon Carlson represented all of Robbinsdale, most of Crystal and part of Golden Valley.
Tori Westrom represent Western Minnesota, Alexandria, Elbow Lake, and Morris.
Al Junkie from Wilmer represent Kandy, Ojai County.
Eric Paulson from Eden Prairie.
Ron.
Mark Biskins, Savage Jordan, Elko, and Newmarket.
Okay. That's Ron Earhart. He's from Edina. I'm Doug Magnus from the southwest corner of the state. I represent four counties, Pipestone, Rock, Murray, and most of Nobles.
Larry Hollis, Cass Crowling in Hubbard County. More golf courses and lakes than anybody else.
You're all wet.
Deborah Hillstrom. I represent all of Brooklyn Center and parts of Brooklyn Park.
Kathy Tingle, Coon Rapids, Andover.
Aaron Peterson, Appleton, Big Stone, Swift, Lackawanna, Western, Yellow Medicine, and Lincoln.
All right, thank you. And the staff as well. Good evening.
My name is Lisa Radzak. I am the committee administrator for this committee. My title is Administrative Assistant to the Majority Leader.
My name is Tom Dicklich. I am the committee legislative assistant. I am Tony's representative search as legislative assistant.
All right. And how about our pages? Oh, I'm sorry. One second.
I'm just the anonymous guy over here in the corner. My name is Pat McCormick. I'm from House Research.
Sorry, Pat. Great to have you back, Ron. Are there any researchers or partisan staff sitting around that would like to introduce themselves? You don't have to. That's good. We can get rolling then. First order of business is working on House policies and resolutions. I'd like to invite Kelly Knight down to the front table, and we'll work on salary rosters. And I will move the salary rosters and miscellaneous personnel reports. And that should be in your packets. And Ms. Knight, if you introduce yourself for the record and explain the rosters and appointments.
My name is Kelly Knight. I am the House Human Resources Director. Members, in your packet, you will find four documents, one being the employee listing of all permanent and temporary staff currently on the House payroll for your approval. The three other documents are the appointments, change in status, as well as terminations that have occurred since the last time the Rules Committee approved these documents.
Thank you, Ms. Knight. Any questions for Ms. Knight on the rosters and appointments? Representative Carlson.
Yeah. Ms. Knight, on the second page, I happen to notice that there's a name that appears twice, and it seems to be the same job description, but two different hiring dates and two different salaries. What does that mean when their name is on the list twice? Is that a typo? It's more than one place, apparently, I was just pointed out. But the one I happened to notice was the fourth one down on the second page, Bossard.
On which?
Well, on the, aren't we not on the salary? The committee rules and legislative appointments.
Page 2.
There may be an explanation, but the name appears twice, so I was just... See Bossard?
Mm-hmm.
But there are others that are that way.
Yeah.
Is there a reason for their appearing twice? Or
actually, for these, you will notice that the first one, the hire date was... there's a date of 4/21/2006 yes. as a new hire, and then a rehire date of 1/2/07. So if they have been hired and rehired in the period of time since rules last approved this document, they will appear on here multiple times. You may also see multiples on the termination.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? Representative Singleside.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this was an item that was briefly mentioned on the House floor the other day, but I just thought it would be good maybe to get it on the record here in the Rules Committee. As far as the changeover of the number of committees that we've gone to in the House with the committee administrators and committee legislative assistants that are needed for those committees, can you just comment on how that relates to the number of people on staff relative to last year?
Thank you, Representative Tinglestad. Actually, the complement of the House of Representatives has decreased now. And it's very modest. It's 1/4 of one person, and we didn't cut anybody's legs off or anything. That's just how the numbers are divided sometimes with employees. But there is actually a slight decrease of complement to the House, and actually a savings in salaries of over $100,000 as well. So we are even doing it in these days of inflation and otherwise, slightly under budget than the former majority party, and with 1/4 less person, and so that's the info. I'd be happy to provide you with those details in writing if you'd like as well, or if the committee would like that, we can make that available as well.
Mr. Chair, just to follow up on that seems almost miraculous to some extent. Is there going to be some extra overtime pay now that the committees will be meeting later in the day? And some of the committees, or some of the CAs, will be covering two or more committees. How does that relate to, sort of staff burnout and some of those other issues?
Representative Singlestad, we are looking at not meeting late into the evening any more so than past legislatures has. Our schedule has only, I think, been extended 1/2 hour, and we've actually shortened the time that committees meet. To accommodate for that, so we do not foresee anything out of the ordinary than what has happened in previous sessions.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for Ms. Knight or myself? Representative Silver.
Mr. Chair, just another point of clarification on that. I am chair of the Ways and Means Committee, but my committee administrator has two committees that they're meeting with, and the same thing is true with Representative Carlson. So our committee administrators, for I think the first time, are doubling up on committees as well.
Right. Seeing no further questions, motion on the table by myself is to approve the salary rosters and miscellaneous personnel reports. Mm-hmm. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Members, I would now like to move 2007 HR-P1, the Policy on Service Award Program. And Ms. Knight, can you explain that to us, please?
Mr. Chair, members, the change in this resolution is the previous House resolution. The only change in this is in line 12, where it says the House Director of Human Resources previously, that was stated as the controller. So that is the only change that has occurred in this document from previous versions.
Okay. Questions by members? Seeing no questions, I renew my motion for 2007 HR-P1 to be adopted. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Chair now moves HR-P2, Policy on Donated Vacation Time. Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair, members, this policy has been brought before you in the past. There is one minor change and one substantive change in this. In the first line 5, where you see 24 hours of accrued vacation or compensatory time, this has, in the previous years, has been 12. The state policy is 12 hours for all state employees to be able to donate to one another, but within the House, we do not participate with the executive branch, the judicial branch, or the Senate, or even LGC in transferring hours. So the House is very self-contained. And so as a result, we have brought forward an increase which allows staff to voluntarily donate their accrued vacation or comp time to staff who have been out for a serious illness at least 6 weeks continuously.
Question by members. Seeing none, I will renew my motion on HR-P1 for passage. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. All right. Chair now will move HR-P3, Policy on Compensation Time and Pay Sheet Policy. Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair, members, the changes within this document are minor. Where in previous versions it said House Administrative Services, you will now see it listed as House Human Resources.
All right. Members, any questions? Seeing none, I renew my motion, HR-P3 for passage. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion prevails. All right, thank you, Ms. Knight. All right, members, I will move the 2007, P1 amendment, policy on tuition reimbursement. And if Mr. Schweitzer could come to the front table. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Paul Schweitzer, House Controller. The health policy on tuition reimbursement is the same as in the past. There is no change proposed to this policy. This provides for House staff can receive a tuition reimbursement of 50% of their tuition and fees up to a maximum of $5,250, which is the IRS maximum amount for that to be reimbursed without it being taxed. As before, each course must be approved by the employee supervisor and health controller. In FY06, this program costs about $4,000.
Questions by members?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Westrum.
Are legislators employees?
Mr. Schweitzer.
Mr. Chair, no.
Representative Westrum, any other questions?
Right. Mr. Chair, I'm done with school, too, so.
I think we're still all going to the School of Hard Knocks here, though, at the Capitol. Seeing no further questions, I will renew my motion on the P1 resolution. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. I will now move the R1 resolution on House Chaplain. Mr. Schweitzer.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, there are no changes proposed in this resolution. This provides for a daily reimbursement to the health chaplain, $35 per day, and an annual honorarium of $2,000.
Any questions? Representative House.
Mr. Chairman, do we have a health chaplain?
Good question, Representative House. We are in the process of still looking for one. Any suggestions, give to the Speaker of the House. She has been doing a search, an extensive search.
And bring you a couple minutes.
Great. I'll look forward to speaking with you, or if you want to let the speaker know, I can give her the word as well. So we can talk afterwards. Thank you. Yeah. Any further questions? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion prevails. I now move the R5 resolution on postage. Mr. Schweitzer.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, there's a slight increase to the postage amount for members, but only to reflect the increase in the postage rate from 37 cents to 39 cents per first class postage since the time that the committee last approved this.
Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Spicer, Postal Department is talking about another increase, and if that happens, do we then have to deal with that back in the Rules Committee?
Mr. Schweitzer.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, yes. And it is my understanding there is a proposed increase that has not been approved yet, but I would recommend that the committee at that time would decide to perhaps increase the amount unless you wanted to do something proactively here at this time.
Representative Solberg.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm not prepared with you to do that other than most of ours are in the form of the number that we get. So if your commitment, Mr. Chair, if there is an increase, we should probably call a special meeting to adjust that.
Representative Solberg, I think it's important that all members be able to communicate with the constituents, and we'll be monitoring the feds to see what they do on this. Representative Paulson.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Schweitzer, I'm curious if, since the House switched over to the metered system, how much did the House save last year in unused postage from metering? I'm just curious in terms of savings.
Representative, I'm sorry. Sorry to demote you, Mr. Schweitzer.
Mr. Chair, Representative Paulson, thank you. We were anticipating some significant cost savings in moving when members had fewer stamps and less postage. It will require me to do some analysis to determine the exact amount, but I remember I remember doing an analysis where there was a significant savings in doing that. But I'll be glad to provide that at a future time to the committee or Representative Paulson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I was just curious. So
okay, Representative Tinglestad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Spicer. Just wondering historically about any adjustments that are made to postage account as it reflects on the size of the legislative district. I know at yesterday's conference we were given a report that shows the demographic change, and some of the House districts have already increased the population by 11,000 over the 38,000 or so that we each started at. Traditionally or historically, has there been any adjustments in the postage account based on the population in the legislative district?
Mr. Schweitzer.
Mr. Chair of the Tinglestad, members of the committee, I'm sorry, I don't recall exactly. My recollection is that it has not been increased lately, and my memory could be mistaken then. But I don't recall that we've increased the actual allotment, although we may have in the past few years. Again, I'd be happy to double check that and report back to the committee.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Representative Westrum.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Fletcher, to that question, are members able to, and probably closer to the end, if they have, let's say, $1,000 left and another member with 11,000 new constituents is out, are they able to shift or voluntarily allow that other member to use some of their postage?
Mr. Schweitzer, Westfield Members Committee, again, no. As a general matter, the resolution is written where it is for a member's postage, and it is not provided for in the resolution that would allow for changing from, for shifting postage from one member to another.
Representative Westrum.
Mr. Chair, perhaps that would be something we should consider, but I wouldn't be prepared to do anything right now. I guess I thought the answer to the question was going to be yes, but that's insightful to me, so.
Seeing no further questions, I will renew my motion on 2007-R5 for adoption. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Carlson offers the following resolution, 2007-R2.
Okay, and members of the committee, this is the resolution dealing with the leadership compensation differential. As you know, it's been a long-standing policy of the Minnesota House that we provide a differential for the time spent in leadership and it includes the speaker, the majority leader, and the minority leader.
Questions by the members? Representative Tingelstad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe this is an obvious question, but I know we're going to be dealing with per diem in one of the future upcoming here resolutions. But so is this based on the $31,000 salary, or does it also include the per diem amounts? What's the base of the increase?
It's the salary.
Okay.
Yep.
Salary base. Thank you. Mr. Schweitzer, if you want to comment on that at all.
Yes, Mr. Chair, that's correct. It is based only on the salary, 40%. And if the 40% is the amount that is provided for in state law, which does say that this committee may designate three leaders to have salary increase of 40% more than other members.
Any further questions? I will be Representative Surge will be abstaining from voting on this one. Seeing no further questions, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. I will offer the next resolution, the R8 resolution. Resolution on photographic equipment usage credit. Mr. Schweitzer.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, there are no proposed changes to this committee other than a typo at line 10, where it now reads each permanent staff photographer, et cetera. So, what this provides for is that all permanent staff photographers receive an additional payment of $2,000 per year to cover for their personal expenses related to the photography equipment that they maintain at their own expense and purchase at their own expense.
Mr. Schweitzer, did you say there was a typo in here? I'm sorry.
This has been corrected now from 2 years ago.
Great. Happy to do that for you, Representative Paulson. any questions on the R8 resolution? Seeing none, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. I will now move the resolution on reimbursement of member communication expenses, the R6A resolution. Mr. Schweitzer.
Mr. Chair and members, there's a significant change to this resolution. What this one does, this policy now mirrors the policy that the House Senate has had in effect for some time. Instead of a $55 per month reimbursement of communication expenses where members submit every month their copies of the various bills for the internet service, for second telephone line, for any other miscellaneous telephone expenses and get reimbursed for it. This would replace that with an allowance system of $125 per month for each member that they could request either on a monthly or a quarterly basis without submitting receipts. The purpose of this is to help members, to make it easier for members, also easier for my staff, frankly, to process requests. Right now, both members and staff spend a significant amount of time putting together a fair amount of documentation for really a fairly small amount of reimbursement, a reimbursement of equal to one day of per diem. Now, it seems like such an obvious thing to do with such a benefit to both members and staff. There's got to be a catch. And unfortunately, there is. The catch is that it means that without the documentation, we will have to pay for it through the payroll system and withhold taxes on it. So after we pay the $125, what you will net out is about $75 per month. So that will be an increase. You will not have to report to us how you spend that money, but it's designed to reimburse you for your internet expenses, for your other communication expenses. You can get it on either a monthly, as I said, or a quarterly basis.
Representative Junkie.
Mr. Chair, if we turn in a receipt, do we have to pay taxes?
Mr. Schweitzer.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the committee could request that. And of course, we do have back in the situation of a fair amount of documentation requirements for both the members and the staff. But the committee, at its option, could could make it a reimbursable with the receipt at a higher rate.
Mr. Chair, is that something we have to do now, or is that something that the chair will make a request to you administratively just to set that up?
Mr. Schweitzer.
Mr. Chair, if that's the consensus of the committee that you'd like us to, that they like us to operate that way to allow it as a receipt or not, I mean we can operate it that way if that's the if that is the understanding of the committee and if that is the request of the committee.
Representative Junkie.
No, Mr. Chair, we should do that. Frankly, we haven't discussed this earlier to my recollection, and you know, $75 doesn't pay for a rural internet bill hardly. You know, we need to make sure that we're covering basic expenses out there that we need. So I think we should have the option of turning in a receipt up to $125 to get the full amount.
Representative Dill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Schweitzer, does the state have to pay then if we take it as salary, as you said, yes? Don't we have to pay another 7.65% in federal withholding to cost of the state, Army, Social Security wages? So really, it's $125 plus another 7.65 plus any other burdens of tax liability that we would have. So really, we're not talking about $125 anymore. We're talking about $125 plus any burden that the state might have to handle the payroll. Secondly, and so I think that's really not the true cost. True cost is the payroll expenses that an employer would incur on top of that as well. Secondly, as has been the burden, if we don't do it as Representative Junkie has suggested, then the burden of the record keeping falls upon the member to take it as a deduction against his income taxes when he files them at the end of the year. And if you don't file, if you don't have a house mortgage and you don't have kids, if you've got a wife or you don't have a wife, you take the standard deduction, and then therefore you would lose, you wouldn't itemize, and so therefore you would lose the ability to recoup the amount that you had paid in taxes in the first place. Because you're filing a short form, you're filing a 1040 easy, and you never have an opportunity to recoup what Mr. Schweitzer is saying that we have to pay on the front end. So I'm suggesting that because of the extra additional expense, as well as the record keeping and the tax implications for those who don't have a more complicated tax return, we do it the way we used to do it, except for the higher amount.
And I think you did that all in one breath. Wow. and somehow I have a funny feeling Representative Dill does not do the easy tax form.
He sure knew about it.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, I don't know if Mr. Schweitzer remembers, but he and I, a number of years ago, had the very discussion that we're having now, and this would have been at least 8 years or more. That tells you. Was when I had a little different role. I chaired a personnel committee, the rules committee back then, and we had this discussion, and it was the tax ramifications that led us down the road of an expense reimbursement system, because then you don't have the tax and you get a real and true number for your technology expenses. So I would recommend that language be added, either maybe if there's time in this committee session to make it an expense reimbursement system so that you truly get the 125, because technology has increased in costs in a variety of ways. Is new technology, or simply the costs have gone up for current technology. But to stay clearly with the 125, I think that's what our goal is, but to make sure we get a net 125 for those purposes.
Mr. McCormick, is this something that we could do easily here with you, Mr. Schweitzer? Or should we lay this over and allow you to work?
Mr. Chairman, if your intention is to allow members to choose between having this as part of their payroll or doing an expense reimbursement, I can suggest language now that allows either way. And that language would be to, on line 14, before the period, to insert a comma, and then to continue by saying, and may at their discretion submit a receipt for actual costs up to the amount of the allowance.
And Mr. McCormick, you have that for
record
keeping? Okay.
Mr. Discussion. Chair, I've moved that amendment.
Junkie moves the oral amendment. Discussion to the amendment. Representative Solberg.
Just a point of clarification, When I'm submitting my receipt for my internet, it's the same amount every month, and I have to submit it every month. Is there, if you submit receipts, do you have to have each month to submit a receipt, or do you have to have, could you do it and say, this is my receipt for the year?
Right.
Mr. Schweitzer.
Mr. Chair, members of Solberg, unfortunately, that's the paperwork nightmare that we have. If I could pass this around, I'll explain what it is as I pass it around, Senator, to explain better what that means. That represents 2 years, and this gets at just exactly what Ms. Solberg is talking about. That represents 2 years' worth of communication expenses only.
For Representative Earhart?
Yeah. for all 134 members, every month, in order for us to not withhold taxes on it, we do need to have a receipt showing what how the expense was spent. The result is a significant paperwork jam up for our we have fewer number of staff, frankly, doing this sort of work, and so I am looking for ways to streamline the work. We would have to do that if we're going to continue with that process. I would say the maximum amount that under the current policy could cost would be about roughly $88,000 if all members took the $55 per month. But in fact, I've only budgeted $36,000. And the reason for that is because of the rather onerous things that Ernst Solberg is talking about is that that most members don't bother, don't do it. So at least this way, under this resolution, with written, giving members the option to do both, I think it will get those members who aren't participating in this program would now have the ability to do it without submitting receipts, be able to be reimbursed for their technology communication expenses, and you may well find that will meet perhaps could meet the needs of both members and staff.
Any further questions to the Junkie Amendment? Representative Westrum.
To this end, the resolution, would part of the 125 be just a home phone, or could it also be a phone if somebody had a residence or an apartment they kept in the cities? Those two together, could that be part of what makes 125, Mr. Schweitzer, or could it be any of the above?
Mr. Schweitzer.
Yes. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for that. Because under the $125 policy, it is a broader policy. It really allows members to be reimbursed for their communication expenses no matter where they are. And one other important change I wanted to mention for this resolution, which is related to that, is that previously the resolution prohibited members from being reimbursed for cell phone expenses. Mm-hmm. That piece is now gone from this. And the reason, and not that we're necessarily encouraging members to use cell phones and be expenses, but if it's part, you can now use your cell phone expense and be reimbursed for that under the $125 policy. What we found is that with the convergence of technology between internet and cell phones, is that the way the policy was written in the past really didn't make any sense anymore. So it had to be redone in some way, and so I think this policy will cover that, and also would allow either for their at home or or for members to be reimbursed for expenses while here in St. Paul. Although again, those expenses in St. Paul for non-metro members also can be reimbursed under the lodging resolution as well.
Representative Westrum.
Mr. Chair, just to point to that last point, only under lodging can you get it during the session or the interim housing. So, but I appreciate you making that point, Mr. Schweitzer.
Representative Tingelstad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Schweitzer, I think you briefly mentioned what you had budgeted this year for that amount, and I'm wondering if it's set up as an allowance or given this option with receipt piece, don't you think the amount would go over that, and then what happens in August when you've already met your maximum, or what's your fallback plan for what you budgeted for this allocation?
Mr. Schweitzer.
Mr. Chair, members, fortunately, we last set the budget for FY07 nearly 2 years ago. And so since then, we have a lot more information. I'm happy to say that our budget for FY07, while it was cut back, there have been a number of changes in the House, as we heard about earlier. Overall, personnel costs are forecast to be significantly less than budgeted. So I am forecasting budget savings for FY07. That will leave room for additions to member to the member expenses such as this.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Representative Carlson.
Just a quick one, being that we are talking about technology, and after you pass that picture around, aren't there other alternatives to filing electronically as opposed to keeping a hard copy, or does the IRS or somebody require you to keep a hard copy like that?
Mr. Schweitzer.
Mr. Chair, members, that's a very good question. Thank you. But somebody has to have a copy of the of a receipt. If a member submitted their receipts electronically, for example, if you're able to scan it in and send it to us, that would work for us, but it may not work very well for members that don't have scanners available in your office or at your home.
Mr. Chairman, I actually was asking about you doing that, so you didn't have to keep the files. I know some businesses do that so that they don't have to maintain huge quantities of hard copies of various documents. They do the scanning for their own record keeping.
Yeah. Mr. Schweitzer.
Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, yes, we could. We do have scanners, and we could retain that. We could retain the records electronically. I think that will be an important initiative for the House as a whole over the next couple of years to move to across the board electronic record storage. Certainly, this is one area where in our office we could do that. Although I will mention that the picture I wanted to demonstrate was more so, not so much filing, but so much as just the staff time processing of the reports.
Yeah, but Mr. Chairman, I understand that, but also the picture sent the signal as well of the sheer volume, and there would be other ways to do that then. But thank you.
Point of information for the committee, we need to be out of this room right around 3:30. So I don't want to stifle debate or discussion, but just keep that in mind. Vice Chair, Representative Loeffler.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Schweitzer, maybe there's a middle ground here in that the resolution suggests that you could submit for reimbursement either monthly or quarterly. And if we change that to just quarterly, it would be, you know, one-fourth the amount, or you know, instead of 12 times a year you're dealing with the paperwork, potentially it would be only every 3 months from each member in exchange for the higher reimbursement. That might be a way to at least manage the workload a little bit.
Yes.
Mr. Schweitzer.
Yes, thank you again. Yes, and I did suggest it quarterly with the idea that at the member's option, it would certainly help us if we reimburse these quarterly. But I also didn't want to impose that requirement on members. But if the committee chose to require it on only a quarterly basis, you know, that would I believe be easier for us.
Representative Junkie, your thoughts on that?
No, Mr. Chair, I'd rather leave it the way it is. For some members, that might be good. For other members, again, you're floating the state now $375. Until you can get reimbursed, and for some that's not a problem. For other people that live check to check, and there are legislators that way, I think they should have the option of getting their reimbursements monthly. So I like the option of either way, and if it's easier for some to do it quarterly, that's great that you can handle it that way.
Okay. Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to comment that if it's done quarterly, it does state that you have to submit within 90 days, and you would be outside the window of 90 days.
Okay. Mr. Schweitzer.
Mr. Chair, the intent, and I'm not sure if it reads correctly or not, but the intent would be within 90 days
from the end of the month in which the payment is requested, really meaning the end of the quarter. So members would have an additional, would have 90 days from the end of the quarter to submit the quarterly amount.
Okay. And Representative Junkie, is that your intent with your oral amendment?
Mr. Chair, that works.
All right. Just want to get that on the record. You guys are being very nice to me on my first day chairing ever, oral amendments and all these questions. I appreciate the practice. To the Junkie oral amendment, any further discussion? Seeing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion prevails. Any further discussion to the resolution? Seeing none. I renew my motion on the R6A resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion prevails. Members, I'll now move the R7 resolution on administration of high school PAGE program. Mr. Schweitzer.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, there's no proposed changes to this this resolution.
Okay. Any questions? Seeing none, I renew my motion on R7 to be adapted. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. I now move the R4 resolution on members' personalized stationery allocation. Mr. Schweitzer.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, there are no proposed changes to this resolution. Following passage, we will send out, I believe, tomorrow to all members an order form, and your stationary proof. We'll be requesting that members submit that as soon as possible, so that we can submit the bulk order to the vendor. The vendor has been has been selected, and they're ready to go once we get our order into them.
Representative Westrum.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Schweitzer, do you have to order through the vendor, or if you can get the same price or in your district from a local printer, can you have them print it?
Mr. Schweitzer.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Westrum, and members of the committee, under the resolution, it is, as I read it, in the past it would be no, that there is no provision for reimbursement of a member to be reimbursed for their stationary costs that they print outside of this. By doing it as a bulk order, which we do mention here, we are able to get significant cost savings and get a lot more stationary compared to members doing it individually.
And members, and Mr. Schweitzer, can you tell us if there is savings when we went out for bid this year based upon our bid process? And can you compare it to the 2 years ago when we went out for bid for our stationery?
Yes, Mr. Chair. We went out to bid this year. I compared the standard order, what it will cost for members compared to this year, compared to last year. Last year, the standard order for this was a cost of $458 per member. This year, perhaps for whatever reason, the low bid came in with an average cost of $379.20. So a 17% reduction in the cost compared to 2 years ago for the same number of pieces of stationery. So.
Thank you very much. Any further questions on this resolution?
Okay.
Seeing none, I will renew my motion on R4. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Earhart, do you have a motion?
I do, Mr. Chairman. On R3, I wish to move page 2, line 5, and the rest of the motion. And so I will move that.
Okay.
Adoption of.
Representative Earhart moves resolution R3 from page 2, line 5. Until the end of the resolution. Discussion on your motion, Representative Earhart.
I don't know if we need a lot of discussion on it. It's something that's long overdue. I think almost every other year we get an increase in stamps, and then we get an increase in the food costs, and it's something that's necessary to keep abreast of the times. So I think that we're all entitled to a little cost of living raise now and then, and so that's where I would move it. I think our folks across the capital there have exceeded our expectations here, but they're bigger eaters, so.
Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to sit here and pontificate. I've got a number of documents I could read, but I agree with Representative Earhart that there's no need to get into a long discussion. However, I will point out that a week ago we all stood up on the Capitol floor and swore to uphold the Constitution of the great state of Minnesota. Members in the Constitution, Article 4, Section 9 says that no increase of compensation shall take effect during the period for which members of the existing House of Representatives may have been elected. Mr. Chairman, this increase in per diem amounts to a full 2% increase in the total package of compensation afforded to legislators. I personally believe that legislatures should be compensated more. I will say that right up front. I believe our compensation should be increased. But I believe it should be done the right way. I believe it should be done the constitutional way. I don't believe we should be backdooring it. And that, for those reasons, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to ask for a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, this is my first time on rules. Is this any different than any other type of committee where is it by hands, is it by voice? Could you explain the roll call vote to me, Mr. Chair?
No problem, Representative Mahoney. Just as in other committees, when a roll call is requested in committee, it's automatic, and our committee legislative assistant will be taking the role once discussion is complete with. Thank you for the question. Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Biskins, I wanted you to point out and read on page 6 per diem living expenses as opposed to salary. And I think there's a big difference in that. And Representative Bisson
come out
and I think it's line 6.
Line 6, page 2.
Page 2, line 6, it says per diem living expenses. You can join me and help pay some of the
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Biskin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Representative Solberg, and now we can go into all of those documents I have before me if you so choose. All right. However, we need to look at what per diem was meant for. Per diem living expenses. Is living expenses travel? No, we already have a separate line item to reimburse travel expenses. Is living expenses lodging? No, we already have a separate expense, and so on and so forth. All right. If $77 a day is what's necessary to pay for food, then that's some awful rich eating.
Representative Earhart.
Mr. Chairman, I think we should point out to everyone here that's never read these resolutions like this before that each member of the House, upon their voluntary request, must be paid. This is all voluntary. If you feel you're in violation of the Constitution, then you're perfectly all right and not taking any per diem.
Members, I'll be offering an amendment to the resolution that was just passed out, and I will move this as an amendment to the resolution. And for those of you, it should have just got on your table, and I think this would be, you did not get it yet, and
no.
we'll get. The pages will get it to the inside of the table as well. Yep. And I offer this amendment to the resolution with Mr. McCormick filling in the lines and pages where necessary. And this will make it simple for the committee. For those that have disagreement with an increase in per diem, they don't need to take it. As Representative Earhart said, it's voluntary. But this just takes it a step further that if they choose to vote against will abstain from voting on this. They will not receive the per diem increase as well. Any discussion to the amendment to the resolution? Representative Diskins.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Chairman, I think this is I'm not appreciative of the form that you're trying to put here. The argument I am trying to make is not whether or not I believe a legislator is underpaid or overpaid. I think I stated that very clearly. Right? We're talking about process, and this seems a little silly to have to be doing, but that's fine. That's fine.
Representative Osmond. Representative Osmond, I always think it's good to have a full discussion on these issues, so I wanted to just make sure. This actually happens in other states. Missouri has a similar amendment to their resolutions when it deals with any monetary issues for their chambers. So I think it's important that we look at what other states are doing and see that this is something that we can do. I'm interested in having a discussion on it. I may or may not withdraw it.
Sure.
Representative Osmond.
Noting that, then I would encourage the chair to withdraw it. Your point is well made. I think it's something that people should take note of. But it also would be a bad precedent for us to start to have little windows of repercussions of individual votes in committee. And so for that reason, I would encourage you to withdraw.
Representative Osmond, being a much more seasoned and senior than I am, I look to you for advice on this, and I will withdraw my amendment to the resolution. Discussion to the Earhart resolution. Representative Singleston.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and perhaps this is a question to Mr. Schweitzer. I know earlier today that the Senate did increase their per diem, and maybe if that could just be announced for the record. And then I'm wondering, Mr. Schweitzer, if you have any historical information about how many years the Senate has had a higher per diem amount than the House. I know, you know, we had a catch-up here a few years ago, but generally in the past, it seems the House and the Senate are the same. I just, can you give me that amount and the historical information on that?
Mr. Schweitzer.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Representative Tinglestad is correct that the Senate increased their per diem to $66 before the House did. Again, you're testing my memory. I'm thinking probably 3-4 years or so. During that time period, the Senate was at $66, the House was at $56, until 2 years ago, and the House caught up to the Senate. Both were at $66. I've heard that today the Senate increased their per diem rate on a going forward basis.
What's the amount?
I've heard that the Senate, and I hate to testify based on oral conversation I had. I heard it was $96.
I can confirm that only from what I read in the newspaper online. And we're getting away from some of our folks in the press. They reported it correctly. Okay. Discussion. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Earhart renews his motion on R3, page 2, lines 5 through the end of the resolution. The clerk, or LA, will take the roll. Sertich votes aye.
Representative Diskins?
No.
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Representative Dill?
Aye.
Representative Earhart?
Aye, yes.
Representative Finstead. Representative Hillstrom.
Aye.
Representative Portman.
Aye.
Representative Powers.
Aye.
Representative Junkie.
Aye.
Representative Lilly.
Aye.
Representative Loeffler.
Aye.
Representative Magnus.
Aye.
Representative Mahoney.
Aye.
Representative Murphy.
Aye.
Representative Nelson.
Aye.
Representative Osmond.
Aye.
Representative Paulson.
No.
Representative Pawlowski.
Aye.
Representative Peterson.
Aye.
Representative Simon.
Aye.
Representative Simpson.
Aye.
Representative Stolberg.
Aye.
Representative Thiessen.
Aye.
Representative Pinglestad?
No.
Representative Westrum?
No.
Representative Winkler?
Aye.
There being 22 ayes and 4 nays, the resolution is adopted. Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to remove the first part of the resolution, RC, starting at the first page up to and including page 2, line 4.
Representative Solberg moves R3, first page through the second page, line 4, with any other corrections that Mr. McCormick has to make to put this in order. Representative Solberg, to your motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is matches up with the Senate at least on one thing. For year-round housing allowance, I, for one, have the opportunity to, on New Year's Eve day, to move into my apartment as well as my wife, be carrying the couches and get to carry them back and carry them forward again and carry them back. And I think this is the time we match the Senate and it was pretty.
Representative House.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for Representative Solberg, starting on line 28 of page 1. And you talked about it during the session, you could stay overnight, let's say, at the Kelly Inn, to remain near the Capitol Complex, even though we had a house or an apartment leased somewhere.
Yes.
What if, I guess, my further question, what if I were leasing for $1,200 a month at the Kelly Inn, and I had to stay here late May because you guys couldn't get the job done on time? Could I rent a room at $95 a night and not use the one I leased?
I believe that's not how this is in place for those days. I know it's hard to imagine today that there's a huge snowstorm, and you've got a member actually from the metro area that cannot get home, and this allows them the opportunity. I think Speaker Sturgeon in the past has allowed this, and it's a safety issue actually for those members living within the metro area to have a place to stay if and when it snows again in Minnesota in the winter. Mr. Schweitzer, a quick question on this $95, though. I know that for members who are staying at the Kelly Inn, or we've kind of used that as our base rate, that number is a little below what it would take to rent at the Kelly Inn, and that's kind of been our benchmark. I'm wondering if you could give us any information about that.
Yes, members of the committee, Mr. Chairman, the Kelly Inn has raised their rates, and once you add the taxes in, it is approximately $101 per night now at the Kelly Inn. So yes, under this policy, though, as written, we would have to reduce the members' request by $6 unless the committee made a change.
Representative Solberg.
I mean, the Kelly Inn is in Taj Mahal.
That's on Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are you disparaging the fine hotels in my...
Mr. Chair, I think they're just saying you got to go on Priceline.com before you check in.
Mr. Chairman, I'll tell you that this is going to be in effect for a couple of years. Would it be better if we added up to, let's say, 105, and say up to 105, would that help us?
Mr. Schweitzer.
Mr. Chair, I don't think that would bust the budget to do that.
I
don't
do 105.
Okay. Representative Solberg, trying to make my life on his first day as chair a little more difficult, incorporates 105 into his motion or necessary in the resolution. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Schweitzer.
I'm sorry to
But I just want to point out to the committee that the $95 amount is also stated on page 2, line 24, in the same resolution, but I believe that may have already been acted on as well.
All righty. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to table this resolution, or should I vote on it first? I'm going to
vote on it.
And then come back to it? All right.
Mr. Chair, can you explain exactly what Representative Solberg's motion was here?
That's okay.
Including 9-5 on the second page with an addition instead of 95 on page 2.
Okay. And to restate it once again, one more time, we are going to be voting on R3, page 1 and page 2 up to line 4, with an oral correction on line 2, 95 is changed to 105. So everyone clear with the motion? Representative Singleton.
Quick question, Mr. Chair. Mr. Schweitzer, what do you expect to be the difference with this change for the annual budget?
And Mr. Schweitzer,
7 months to what, about half the members?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, in the current fiscal year for FY07, the impact of this resolution would allow one additional month pretty much the month of June. So for the current fiscal year, that would be $1,200 times 57 members for approximately $68,000 for the current fiscal year 07.
Thank you.
If that was the question.
Any further discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor of Representative Solberg's motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Members, I move to reconsider the Representative Earhart's motion on the second half of R3, and I would like to make an oral amendment that on line 24 we replace 95 with 105 and keep it consistent with the resolution we just passed.
Only if someone asks.
Any discussion on that? Okay, thank you, Representative Solberg. I will first need to have a move to reconsider. Motion to reconsider. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails.
I'll move your
amendment. And now I move my amendment to the Earhart R3 resolution, putting in 105 on line 24, page 2, in place of 95. Staff have the correction. All right. Any discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. Members?
I have to move the amendment as amended.
You guys are making this a learning experience, and I appreciate that. Now on... Yes. Representative Biskins, would you like another roll call?
No.
No? Okay, thank you. Now on final passage of the Earhart R3 resolution as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Members, thank you. Any questions on any other business? All right. Representative Westrum, 1 second, folks.
Mr. Chair, if anybody had an apartment lease that started in December 06,
renegotiated.
Will that be taken care of? Is that taken care of in what we passed today, or is that... out? Are we out the money for 06?
Representative Westrum, as of agreeing to that motion, you'll be able to get reimbursed for that starting now. So you just have to contact House and Ministry of Services and work on the paperwork there, but you will get reimbursed for December 06.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Members, we are adjourned.